Hey, what's good, everyone? It is Samir from Beat Fino Podcasts. Hope you're all well. Just taking this quick time to make a little shout out to our sponsors. Definitely recommend this one. Check it out. This podcast is sponsored by the Music Producers Guild of New Zealand, Aotearoa. The Music Producers Guild is an advisory service that assists and empowers our music producer industry here in New Zealand. Members get personalized contracts for their music production, free Serato Studio Sample and DJ Pro, access to discounted audio equipment and software, and advice from industry professionals. Buy your plugins through the Music Producers Guild website to help support us all in growing our community. For more information and to sign up as a member, please visit www.mpgnz.co.nz. Huge shout out to the Music Producers Guild of New Zealand for sponsoring Beat Fino. Super stoked to be able to share such a positive driving force for New Zealand music on the world stage. Please check them out. Super stoked to be in the guild myself. And I know for a lot of you guys wanting to take their music to the next level, super honored to have this opportunity to be around the industry professionals and soak up all the benefits. Back to here to the podcast. Thank you so much all for hanging in and enjoying this testimony so far. Feel free to pop a little message in to our page. Let us know how you've enjoyed this podcast. And stay tuned for more Beat Fino episodes. But here, back to the podcast. Here on Beat Fino Podcasts. Welcome everyone to Beat Fino Podcast. And this week we have Emma. What's good, my sis?
I'm so good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, so awesome to have you. And how we have just continued to do some little podcast stuff during this time, and we're still going strong, eh?
Yeah, you've been pumping out the content, and it's an honor to be on. It's my first ever podcast, so.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. It's honestly been almost everyone's first podcast, but just like, even hearing like people like, you know, just like getting amongst it and like seeing, yeah, like there's been some amazing podcasts kick up during this time. So shouts to all the, like, we're all, you know, in New Zealand music, we're all just supporting each other, like anything to bring the positivity overseas, you know?
It's the best. We have such as, you know, a very tight knit community here in New Zealand. And while it can still be quite, you know, like any scenario, it has its ups and downs, but over the pandemic, like the way that I've seen other artists supporting each other, it's been like a really beautiful thing, actually. So, look at us now. We're on a podcast.
Hard out. And oh my gosh, I can't wait to dig into what I do on all the podcasts, because what I do is I kind of like try to remember how I bump into everyone as like the sort of memorabilia hits it. But to kick things off, so how's lockdown been for you overall? Like, we just talked off air, but yeah, what do you reckon overall it's been like for you second time around?
I've had a pretty shocking lockdown. For those that know me or follow me on Instagram or whatever, that started the lockdown, my cat, who's like my child, she got really, really sick and almost died. So that was like 2.5 weeks of like just feeling like my world was collapsing. And then she made an amazing, miraculous recovery, but then my nana died. So it was just, and then just, you know, some other personal things. It was just like, just kind of taking knock after knock. But now I'm feeling, yeah, a lot better. And I'm trying to be productive as much as possible so that I don't look back on this and be like, fuck, I wasted. However, am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, you can swear. Everyone. It's like, yeah, we're saying it out of love.
Yeah. Exactly. It was. I'm feeling a lot better, which I'm very grateful about. And some really cool things have happened out of lockdown, even though some like sad things have happened too. And some, you know, like obviously shows aren't a thing right now, but I'm vaccinated and I'm ready for summer. It's going to be so sick.
Hard. Oh, that's awesome. Well, one thing I really like to sort of share on is, yeah, just the importance of just like not getting too much in your head, and just like sometimes you got to just be a bit goofy with yourself over like those times where you're stuck inside your head or at home. And this podcast, and the first one, honestly, it really helped me, and it was amazing how the whole thing started. So I would just run you through, because like some people don't even know, I wasn't really thinking about doing a podcast in terms of like having the balls to like be like, okay, I'm doing this. Like, I always thought about it, but I bought a Zoom membership on the first one, and you know how like no one knew what Zoom was, and then somebody managed to like get like 5 billion people out of the 7 billion to like know, like Zoom added to the dictionary. It was crazy, you know?
Yeah, legit. It became like a whole new way of life, and I feel sorry for Skype because they've been doing this for so many years, and they just got left behind majorly.
Oh, exactly. So no, I was just kicking it on the Zoom, trying to like do a live stream like of me making beats, and at the time, like, I don't think they had a good setup because it was such a new software. They were like trying to keep up with everyone, and so like the audio, I paid all this money for a membership, and like the audio of me making the beats on the stream didn't even sound good. So I'm like, oh, I just spent all this money like for nothing.
Oh no.
I thought, okay, what can I, like, if I'm gonna spend this money, I've already spent it, like what am I gonna get out of this? And then I realized I could do these little things that made like the calls bigger and last longer. So I thought, okay, I can do this podcast, and I'm like gonna do one thing, and that is like go for it, like unlimited number of hours calling or whatever it was. It like, it actually motivated me, and this literally has all been done pretty much on Zoom, the whole podcast, you know.
It's something beautiful that's come from lockdown. So I think it's really cool what you're doing, because you have such like a vast group of friends. Like, if everyone in music knows you as like the go-to guy for like technical problems, it's like, hit up Samir. But you know, I think I met you for the first time in Wellington at the Basement event.
That's it. I
was not, well, me and Sterling were listening to people's beats at one of the beat session. I remember you did it, and we were like, holy fuck, who is this guy? Like, I remember I were like, at the end of the session, I went up and I was like, please play your song again. Like, that was fucking mental. And then you were like, oh, like I know you. And I was like, fuck, like, we're going to be great mates. Like, this is crazy.
That's right.
And ever since, and that was probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah, at least four. And
quite a while now.
It's right. It's cool. So I literally knew just through being this like techie kid who was always just like following the circle, like connecting the dots on Facebook, because I I was always like just trying to find ways that like I help people that didn't really know who I was. I'm like, hey, get to know me because I want to help, but also like, yeah, I was very tight-knit with the Noble Brothers growing up, and so I like did things where I just like helped them go down for shows and all these things, where I was connecting and starting to like get to know Wellington, just making the most of every opportunity, where I was like, I was without a doubt, and like just in the whole immersion of like what started out is definitely the whole dubstep moving to like drum and bass, like the whole movement of electronic music, like say for the last 5 to 10 years, I think in New Zealand has been like crazy, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy to like kind of look back on the last 10 years and like New Zealand music, especially like our two biggest exports are like trap and electronic dominated. But you know, we kind of go through these, like, you know, I remember when I was growing up at uni, well, I guess I was growing up already, but I feel like a very separate person from the person I was 5 years ago. So I just remember when I would be in Wellington, and like it was very house orientated at the time, and when I first started DJing, long story short, the stage manager that I was doing a show for, my first ever big show, he was like, can you play an extra 30 minutes? Like, the headliner's late. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. But because I was a rookie, I didn't have more songs loaded on my USB. So I was like, okay, well, the only songs I have left that I haven't played is dubstep. And he said to me, he's like, I guarantee you, if you play dubstep, you'll never get booked here again. And like, that's the end of that kind of thing. And I was like, all right. Well, I was like, well, I don't know what you want me to do. So I played 30 minutes of dubstep. The crowd went crazy and loved it more than the other part of the set. And then I ended up doing the same event 3 years running. And now I see that guy, he's a traveling member of a band's group here in New Zealand. And I often see him, and I just, Wonder if he remembers saying that to me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. How's that for like the power of like just kind of letting the universe take over? Because ultimately you get in those moments where you got nothing else like left to do except, okay, I'm not going to play the same songs again. I'm not going to give the audience something that they're going to just completely walk out on, which is like, you sort of pull up something out of your sleeve and you come out there and bam, you know, I think the testimony is music as a whole has like come from that whole movement of just making use of what you have, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, because it was such a house orientated time, like all of my friends that were DJs were house orientated, and I was like, well, you know, like, will I get more gigs if I'm a house DJ? Like, yeah. And this was, you know, 6 years ago. But I was like, no, I'm just going to keep playing what I, you know, what I heard a saying once, and it was like, if you don't get a boner over the music that you're playing, how do you expect other people to? And it's the same thing. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to play what I want. And same thing with now with drum and bass, which, you know, the most heavily dominated genre in New Zealand. It's amazing, but I don't want to pick songs that I like are just going to be for the crowd. Like, I want it to be like a meet me halfway kind of process. Yes. So, yeah, working with what you've got is very important because,
yeah. I mean,
you'll get heckled at a D&B or from D&B heads that are like, play some fucking rollers. And you're like, hold on, man.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. No, that's so, so true. And that was me with DJing too. Like, I always believed in the whole, like, meet me halfway because ultimately it takes people underestimate the mahi that goes involved, like, you know, it's more than just play. Like, you know, like, I grew up with, like, in the same sort of times where people were starting to think all you did is play. And ultimately, yes, you can do that, but like, it's not gonna, A, it's not gonna last you very long, but B, like, at the end of the day, you've only got yourself that you're gonna go to bed to at night and think, well, did I like actually like live this day of my life for myself or for someone else? And like, I love the idea that like people are just tapping into like, like saying, like actually schooling the crowd, but in a good way, you know?
Because Paige Julia, who I know that you know, she actually taught me to DJ. And so one of the things that she told me was, you know, like obviously there's the aspect of learning how to use like equipment, but then she's like, you know, well, what I vividly remember is her saying, like, what do you want people to leave your set like taking away, or like how do you want people to feel? Or like, it's not just like for a lot of people it is just, I've had a really rough day, I want to forget about life. But for other people it's like, I don't know, kind of drawing on that feeling that they don't have otherwise. And so she's always said, like, give them something that they know. So like, often I'll play like some vocal like Cinema by Benny Benassi, and then but like something new, so it's like they have the lyrics that they can hold on to that they know, and then you just like fuck them up with a
flip,
with a chain. I just think, because I mean, while it is totally like a huge business and an amazing career path to be like a commercial DJ, or someone that, you know, is playing to the crowd rather than playing just 100% what they want, I don't know, I think both of them are art forms in their own.
Bang on. I think there's so much that can be learnt from both, and it's it's really exciting now with that. Just an open accessibility to people, not just like all learning more about each other and the vast array of music, but like, I guess it's probably the best way to sort of dive into the next topic of production, because you almost get an ear for it, when you think about it.
For sure. You can hear it.
But like, the one thing all DJs relate to is like, because you're technically starting to get those neurological pathways of thinking about music as it's arranged, as you're playing it, as you're mixing it, and you start to like think about, okay, well, I'm bringing in like this track as I'm beat matching. I'm kind of like editing or forging this new sound, and then like before you know it, you catch yourself out on there. I'm like, oh, I'm actually kind of like remixing, which is like, I'm kind of like, that's what producers did. That's how I got into production. I was like listening to General Lee on ZM, and I'm like, this is an insane version of CeeLo Green, except it's not like the pop version. It's like this Hundy four on the floor kick, and it's like super sore. And ever since then, I just thought, what the hell is this stuff? And then I didn't even know it was called a remix, you know? It was like so new.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's the thing, right? Is that like DJ decks are an instrument. Like Alice in Wonderland has always said that, like, you know, that they can't be treated any, like, you know, less of a musician. It's just a different piece of equipment. And the amount of different ways that you can DJ and, like, yeah, like, do live remixes and do all this, like scratching and all of that is a whole nother kettle of fish, which I wish I could do better. But, you know, like, it's so true. It is a full instrument and what you can do with it, especially nowadays, like, all of this brand new equipment that's coming out with, like, all these flash buttons. Feel like a boomer because I don't know how to use them, and then I get showed up at parties and I'm like, oh my god, I promise I'm a good DJ.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I love it. I love that it's like, you know, DJs are like our generation's rock stars. Like in New Zealand, you can be like a rugby player or like a DJ or a musician, and like, you know, that's like New Zealand's version of like celebrities, because I don't know, that's just the way we are.
100%. It's a beautiful time in terms of just like seeing the world as well. Like, I'm not sure if you were in like really kind of aware, like when you started seeing things like the Tomorrowland and all the festivals, it was like, I think it was just such a exciting time for like the whole world. But then I think it really hit so many of us in New Zealand, like for the right reasons, eh? It was positive.
Yeah, it was it's just the glory days. The glory days back in the day.
Yeah. So when you kind of started getting into DJing and stuff, were you kind of able to sort of find peeps along the way? What was sort of like the earliest memories of you thinking, actually, I want to give this a go? Where do I start, sort of thing? Where did it all begin?
Like, I've always said that it was like, when I was younger, if someone was like, what do you want to be? When I was really, really young, it was like, I want to be a vet. And then once I was like, I can't put animals down, and found DJing. I didn't really think it was like something that I could like make a career out of. Cause like the first time I saw it would have been like Flostradamus, Quickstays, like early OG trap. And like, that was before I knew that it was really like a pathway. And so I remember in high school, like trying to learn to DJ and like annoying all my friends cause I would never do my work and I was so ADHD and like, I was just like, what, how do I do this? And there was no courses back then of like DJ 101 and like hardly any information on the internet about it. So I just remember I moved to Wellington from New Plymouth at 18 to study at Victoria University. And then once I was down there, me and my best friend at the time, we started going out to all these club nights, like every week, every week. Like we'd go out like 4 or 5 times a week. It was another lifetime ago, honestly. But we stumbled into this club one day called Fat Angel, which you'll remember. Came into unexpectedly an 018 student night. And me and my friend were like, holy fuck, like, what is this? And then I started working as a promo girl. Like, me and all of our friends just started working there because we'd get like free drinks and just go and listen to like all of the music that we loved. And then I was like, far out, man. Like, I really want to do this. And so I started kind of asking a few people and like a few DJs that I had met. And a lot of them were like, no, I don't want to teach you because of like whatever reasoning they had. Or you know, I got a lot of no's.
Wow.
Which, I mean, at the time, the only female DJ in Wellington that I knew was Paige Julia. And it's kind of funny the way it all worked out, because it was like I was out on a night out and one of my friends was like, oh, I've just had this great idea. Like, I know this girl called Paige and she, you know, she sometimes does DJ lessons. Like, I'm going to give you her number. And then fast forward to now. And I think that if anyone else had taught me how to DJ, things would be really, really different. Because like I said, she taught me like it's not just about like the music you're playing. It's like why you're actually doing it, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah. 6 years ago now.
Yes. Oh, that's a beautiful journey. Like, it's amazing how much there's just those one or two people are like so hugely responsible for me. The two peeps were this guy called DJ VIV and DC Brothers in Palmy. They were huge alongside D Fresh. And those three kits like from there introduced me to everyone else who was also so helpful, and like it was just incredible to see, like when I look back as a kid, like that Kiwi sort of positivity that I think we can always like never get enough of is like, man, it doesn't matter how many no's you get, if you love that stuff, like you will like not even realize you just keep asking again. Eh? You're just like, wait.
Yeah.
You don't think about it. You just keep asking it.
Yeah. It's crazy once, like when you really break things down, like in terms like this of like, oh, you know, if I didn't go out that one night and didn't go, you know, meet that girl for a drink and like meet our friends, like, you know, it's like the butterfly wing effect or whatever, where it's like the, I don't know, it's fucking mental. It just how the people that you meet or like the things that you see, how that can change what you want to do. Like when someone messages me on Instagram and is like, can I have some tips getting into DJing, or like you got me into DJing, I'm like, fuck, that's like the coolest thing ever.
Because
I just think that's such a like a lovely thing to be told. But I think that's really, really sweet.
Oh, it's full circle, eh? Like, brings the testimony all alive, eh? Yep.
Like, I would love to be someone, like, the way that Paige was for me, I'd love to be that for someone else. So it's a very humbling moment when that happens.
Oh, that's perfect. That's it. That's literally the beat finder, like, co-pupper is like, yeah, you will, like, just be you, like, just really go out there, because, yeah, they're like, we all have that gift. Like our unique gift for the world, like you will be so like powerfully able to help like impact someone. But that's perfect. Like moving on, I reckon let's talk about getting more like involved with DJing, because there's like so many sort of years you just really just like definitely like get out there, and then like there can be some sort of signs where you start to see like, whoa, this just happened, I got to play here. Like what were some like early little things? It was like little milestones, and just share the journey.
I was getting taught by Paige for probably like I want to say maybe 4 months of like I would go over to her house for an hour I think a week, and I was really lucky to be taught on CDJs. So, you know, I'd do that and we'd do that for a while until it got to this point where she was like, all right, like, you know, if you can afford your own equipment, even if it's, you know, like the bottom of the line controller, like just try to keep practicing. And so then I bought just like an entry level controller, and I was just trying to like get my hours in and just and learn. But also at the same time, like I was very aware of the longer you spend on controllers, the more like bad habits, quote unquote, that you could get off them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and how different CDJs are compared to controllers. So I remember I was just kind of trying to do anything that I could. And my friend Stu Habit down in Wellington, he was like, why don't you do like this opening set at the club? Like no one will be there, but it's good practice for you. And I was like, sweet, cool. I did that, I think, 3 times. And then I got a Facebook message or something from Robin Fernando, who was running Victoria University O-Week, and was like, hey, we want you to open for Hermitude. And I was like, holy fuck. And I think I got like 48 hours notice. Like they were like, it's in 2 days.
Get your tunes ready.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit. I remember not sleeping and like just staying up and practicing all night, and then like trying to envision like how the CDJs would look compared to my controller. And I had like chest pains. And it was like my first ever proper show was to like 1,000 people. And I was like, I don't think I can do it. Like, I don't know if I want to do this forever, because like the anxiety is too much. Like I'm so nervous. How do people do this? And I never thought that, because I'm like a naturally very anxious person. And I was like, I don't see how this could like ever be overcome. But then I finished playing and I was like, yeah, sweet. Smashed it, whatever. I think that's one of the best things that DJing and like being involved in music has given me, is like a really good self-esteem and confidence in myself. Because I don't know, I feel like the only person that will stop you from doing something is you. Like I remember when I'd get too scared to be on the microphone, or like, you know, this is skipping forward a few years now, but I was just like, well, at the end of the day, if I want to spray the crowd with water, or if I want to scream into the microphone, it's like the only person stopping you is you. So I tried to just disconnect from that. And then so after that show, I think from memory, it was just, Wellington stuff. and through 018 I did a few, like I opened for Dimension. In a club called Biddy's. And if anyone in Wellington knows Biddy's, you know, it's like a shoebox. Yeah. it was honestly legendary. When I did a show with Dimension a few months ago, I was like, do you remember that time? And he was like, I honestly actually do. And it was like this tiny club, probably a cap of like 150, and maybe like 50 people were there. And he started smoking inside, and it was like a legendary legendary rockstar moment from Rob. But after that, I remember, just because at the time house was quite a dominating genre, and then through 018 became a lot more of like bass heavy acts, but I wasn't really at that level, I guess. So I would just often go as a hunter and try to learn things. But I would say for the next like 3 years, it was much of the same in that aspect. Like I did Victoria I Week 3 years in a row, which was always like my favorite day of the year. And then I started coming up to Auckland quite a bit. My manager at the time, I just started working with her, and she was in Auckland and she was helping me get a lot of bookings and stuff up here. So then it started kind of after, I would say between year 3 and 4, I was coming up here and I was like, you know, fuck this. Like I've just finished uni, I just graduated uni. I broke up with my boyfriend. I was like, I want to move to Auckland. I've always been wanting to move to Auckland. So I moved to Auckland at the start of last year.
Yeah,
so February 2020.
Yes.
And then here we are. It's like a blur, but like I can remember every single show at the same time.
Exactly. Wow.
I've played more empty rooms than full rooms, which I think at some point it's like the way... that, like I'm glad it happened that way. I think that's like kind of a rite of passage almost, because then you know, you know how good it is to have a really receptive crowd that are like there for the music and not just there to get fucked up on a Saturday night.
Yes. Wow, that's a really good little nugget for everyone, is like the sort of elevation that comes from a set that you can like hand on heart say you've done to like literally like a crowd of no one, and then you kind of elevate that same like sort of energy that you put in, like you love the music, you know, you're there, and you know, you kind of, it feels like sometimes when you're by yourself, it's more of a practice session. But yeah, even though it's like, it's not uncommon, like in situations I've seen where there's like a gig and for whatever reason, there's just like a few less peeps than everyone's expecting. And you know, there's huge acts, and like everyone just knows that it could be just one person on that floor, like your energy on that music, it's like as if the whole crowd's there, you know. It's really it's something that, you know, like you definitely start to like connect the dots to when you get enough gigs, and it's really awesome to hear like that you did put a lot of, like you said, but that rite of passage playing lots of those sort of gigs where no one was there, because what a beautiful opportunity for like knowing that like that is literally the starting of all the people we look up to. It's just so humbling.
Yeah, like there's so many amazing DJs that have had like a really fast come up with Corona, and I think it's quite a sad thing when people try to like bag on other people just because they've had, you know, the experience of 5 years and maybe 1.5. But I just think that at the end of the day, if you're in this for the right reasons, like no matter what your journey is, you're going to end up in the right place. And we all start at different points. And like for me, sold out shows from the minute that I started DJing. I'm glad that it didn't happen that way, because I now can like read a room a little bit more than, I mean, so I still don't sometimes. I'm like, fuck it, you guys are going to dubstep or piss off. But but yeah, I just think that there's so many beautiful things with DJing, and I would be so lost without it. I genuinely am like so glad that I found my thing relatively early on, because I have some people in life, like friends of mine, that don't know what they want to do, and they feel so lost in life. And while I still feel like that sometimes, I know that like I've got, like I know my path.
That sometimes you just can't put into words like the gratitude of being like, wow, I've had some amazing experiences, and I met some amazing people, got to be at some amazing places. And on that note, share us the two journey, because like what started Wellington moving to Auckland, like there's been some huge moments for you. Like this is a time for us to celebrate this testimony. And like, she's some of the more cooler like places, because it's not just Wellies in Auckland, right? It's like a whole sort of lineage of like sort of on the way there, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's really bizarre. Like, I am talking at the moment, like, hopefully with New Zealand and the world opening back up again, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, next year I want to go we're thinking about doing the States for like a month or so, just to like go and like get my feet on the ground. Because I've been to America before, but it was not for a music. It was many years ago when I turned 21. And so I'm like, I want to go back with the focus of like music and stay there for like a month and like try and just like get my feet on the ground there. Because for me with music, like I would give up anything, do anything. Like, this is the only thing I have in life. Yes. And without music, like there's nothing else for me in life.
Let's hope
it continues on that way. Cause like, even though I've never worked harder for like anything in my life, besides, you know, like going to university was like a different type of like brain power, but like for DJing, no matter where I end up on whatever level, like I will be content because I'm doing something that is like so genuine to me. And even though it's been fucking hard work, like I do give myself the credit that I'm quite a spiritual person. So
me too,
I think that because it's happened in a way of like, I still put the hours in and I still work fucking hard, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to like an organic way of like naturally progressing, like when I look back on the last few years and like the ups and downs that have happened with it, I'm like, it's such a natural like progression. I feel like I've continuously grown each year while still maintaining like the reasons that I've been doing this and being I like to think a nice person.
Yeah, oh, 100%. I can testify. But yeah, I think what's so huge for people like listening in is actually like sometimes we do have to reverse these sort of conditionings, like these programmings that we've been like given like young growing up, that you sort of have to sort of like chase a traditional pathway. But like, yeah, more and more, I think parents are more just starting to like give up with the whole idea. But like, yeah, there's like millions of like 5, 6, 7, 8 year old kids making like millions of dollars like gaming.
gaming and DJing, like more kismet. He's 16 and he like, or, they use them pronouns. So right. they just were like the youngest person to play at, I think it was Hardfest, and just played a sold out Red Rock show with Alice in Wonderland. Like people, like they're 16, and like you think of Martin Garrix and like, you know, while I'm sure there's so many young females out there that haven't got the spotlight on them that males have, you know, it's so cool. And that's one thing that like my mum is the best. Like, she is my biggest fan, and like she's never pushed me to be like, you know, well, have a backup plan. Like, she's always just let me do my thing, and like she comes to shows, and she cried when I played Spark Arena, and I was like, the concept of her crying while I'm playing dubstep at Spark Arena is so funny, because she was like, it was so beautiful. And I just think that's such a funny concept.
Yeah.
But you know, so many people's parents don't support them in this, and I think it's just so sad, because you know, like music and arts has always been a huge part of people's life, whether that's like, you know, business or pleasure.
Yeah.
And I think I feel really sad for people whose family doesn't get behind them, because I even, you know, my grandparents wanted to come to my first show that I did back in my hometown. And I was like, guys, like, I love you so much, but I don't think you understand, like, I'm not like a pianist playing in a theater. Like, I was like, you'll probably have a heart attack. Like, you cannot come. And like, it was like a full on family argument, because they were like, please, like, we'll stand at the back. And I'm like, you're not standing at the back of a mosh pit. It's not happening.
Yeah, yeah. But say, even the edge spec cuts are far harder than that.
Yeah, no, they're like, who's this weird old couple standing at the back that are like 85?
it's awesome. I think it's so cool now, because that's the other big thing. I really can't wait to like continue pushing the beat finder like not as like just me becoming like a high school teacher, but like me really like remembering that like yeah, as a kid in school, it was like, yeah, I'll say in the same spiritual sense of like, whoa, I was like, it was me against the world in terms of like, yeah, those yes. sort of like voices you get around, and for any kind of kids tuning in, like, oh man, we've all been there. Like, we know exactly what you're going through, because we think sometimes we're all getting better, but like, yeah, it's just amazing so much like noise and out what's out there in terms of limiting beliefs, but then it's a double-edged sword, because the people who believe in these limiting beliefs are only creating more like lanes for people who don't, because that's one less person on the believe in yourself route. So I mean, it's for me, like, I look at the world market, I'm like, okay, like, we live in New Zealand, like, why not chase your dreams? Because some people would kill just to even do that, even have like the resources to try. So like, we really, I think it's about working with what's in front of you, and it's like, I'm gonna give this a go. Why? Because life's too short, you know.
Yeah, I'm a really big believer in like just working with what you've got. Like, I use that in all aspects of my life. Like, I would remember, like, when I got my first car, for example, I always wanted like a flashier, nicer car, whatever, but I was like, you know, like, at the end of the day, this is what I've got. And like, this is obviously such a trivial, like, materialistic thing, but I was like, you know, like, even though it's not the car that I want, or, you know, it's not the, I don't know what, you could use this in any context, but I would always wash my car like every week, and I would clean the inside of it every, and I would always keep it spotless, because it doesn't matter like what it actually is, as long as you work with what you've got. And in that example, wow.
In that example, like my car, so like, I'm just
I just mean, like, you know, you could use, if you want to be the world's number one dubstep trap DJ, and you're sitting in your room with like a Windows shitbox 2001 laptop and virtual DJ, like, just work with what you've got, because eventually it'll get to a point where you do have what you want, but you need to actually have the skills to like use it and or maintain it. And now I've got the car that I want, and I look after it every week.
Wow, that's so cool. Oh, well, that's a test. That's the one. That's the testimony. Like, everyone tuning in, is it's just those little things that, like, it's just remembering not to take the little things for granted. Working, like, we've just, you've had some great gems for everyone.
Yeah, working for things in any aspect is like the best thing ever. But it's like, you know, you really want a MacBook laptop, and like, all you have is like a shitty thing. And so I remember my first job, I worked at Burger King in New Plymouth, and my friend had a laptop that he didn't want anymore. It was an old MacBook, and I was like, cool, how much for it or something? And it was like $500, but you can pay me like $50 a week until it's paid off. And I think I didn't pay him off for like a year, but then I finally got that shitty, slow as fuck MacBook, and my life was so much better.
Oh, that preacher. I those MacBooks, man, they are a part of the New Zealand music testimony, I say.
My god, yeah, because when you would try and load things onto it for me, it would like, I tried to get some old visuals off it a few weeks ago, and it took legit 10 minutes for it to just power on, and I was like, how did I even try to find this is unbelievable.
I've seen everything with like, in terms of the computers around New Zealand, and like, it leaves me literally like coming back like in awe of like, wow, I've got no excuse. No one's got any excuses. Like, it's so powerful to just kind of like run on like just a dream and just faith, you know, alone. It's just, that's like the $1 million car.
Yeah.
Like, that's
and faking it till you make it as well, I believe in a lot. Like, if you don't have like the, you know, confidence that you want to have on stage right now, just try as hard as you can to fake it. And same thing with like, I don't know, maybe you want to do, yeah, you, in any context, it's just like, I just think it's important.
Oh, 100%. We down, like, New Zealand, we can down our plates, play ourselves. And when you do just that right amount of fake it till you make it, oh man, it's you look back and you realize it was the right thing to do all along, eh?
Yeah, and also like big believer is, you know, everyone is these days, and like manifesting and positive energy and all that kind of stuff. But I think that, you know, positive self-talk is so important. And I watched a TED talk the other day and I was feeling sad, and it was all about how like it was a psychologist who was talking about bad mental habits, which people often think of bad habits just being like I pick my nails or I pick my nose or like whatever it is. She was like, the actual main thing that can like contribute to your physical and your mental health is the way that you think to yourself. So it's like, if you're wanting to be a DJ and you see like your peers getting the gig that you want, and if you're sitting there saying like, man, like I deserve that, like why do they get that? Like, you know, I work way harder, this and that, like that is in turn telling your brain that like, it's just a bad mental habit, because that's attracting all bad energy towards you. And I think like I see a lot of that in New Zealand is a lot of people feel like they are entitled to a certain set or a certain show or a set time or whatever. And while a lot of the times, like, yes, it's justified, like if you're a headliner or whatever, I just think that when you have that type of energy, it's just doing you such a disservice. Like
100%. Like I really feel like if we like can all take a leaf from the book, I think it's the idea that like even from a scientific like idea of I'm actually into this guy called Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he like along with cats like Wim Hof the Iceman have like helped us all realize.
So interesting.
Yeah, honestly, like I just love that a lot of people just kind of like one way or another heard this, like, oh, there's this Iceman, like perfect, like the seed's been planted, like he's proved every single scientist in the world wrong, he's like broken everything, like men's have known to this day. And like, yeah, so he was told like, oh, you're just like a special human in the world, like one of a kind. And he's like, nah, I'll just get 30 people at random to do what I did, and he did it. And like now the whole world is just shut up, because like he's telling people you can actually change your DNA like through like the way you like treat yourself, treat your body, treat your
all
mind.
About the way you the way you think and talk to yourself is so I don't know, I think because we can all obviously be like our own biggest enemies, and I'm working on that this lockdown, is like trying to be like your own best friend again, like saying it's like what would you say to your friend if it was your friend was in the scenario. And so you just can't. Like, because every day I'll be like, you're not being productive enough. Like, get some songs out. Like, do this, do that. And then it's like, actually, like,
I've come. Yeah.
It's a really strange time to be alive right now. Like, it's like, I've been talking to a few of my friends in music, and like a lot of us are feeling really like unmotivated in the way of just like things are so unclear and. I think that whole idea of being productive is like really self-sabotaging, because you can just be like, you could get 10 things done in a day, but if you didn't get like that extra one, it's like you weren't productive enough. And
how long is a piece of string, and you get stuck in your own head. And that's so awesome you mentioned that. I felt the exact same thing, and I come up thinking, wait a minute, like it's just that positive self-talk. I've been reading Louise Hay, and she's got a book like you Can Heal Your Life. And what's interesting is like a lot of it is sort of like, not only you forget who you are, but you forget what got you this far was actually the way that you treated yourself, which is like not how you do it like in like this sort of time when you're stuck at home and you're kind of like thinking, oh, I'm not productive. So it's just really cool tapping back into that sort of childlike nature. I think that's probably the gem for everyone tuning in, is like just be a child. Like, okay, you know, you might have a few years of tricky situations with your parents, and you might have to sort of obey them, and then when they're not looking, disobey them, which is what I did. I would not change a thing, because my parents, I can just tell them, both of them. It's incredible. I never thought I could tell both of them and had the same response, but I tell them now. Look, I just, like, I some cool things on board, but, like, I disobeyed, like, a lot of what you guys said. Like, I just, and, like, we all know that, like, this was the right thing to do, right? Like, I couldn't have done it any better than and like they're both humble as kids now, so like they both like, yeah, like no, you're right. And like when you hear your parents say that, the first thing that is like, oh, like this is the beginning of a moment, like healing my past, like not just in terms of, you know, for the kids tuning in, yeah, like this, if you know, if you can take a leaf from our book, it's not only has the world changed and then like, you know, everything's kind of like either unpredictable or like all online, but no, it's actually, it's never been a better time to tap into your heart, your dreams, because I think if everyone does what they love, I'll tell you what, there'll be room for everyone. There is someone out there and they love cleaning like the rubbish bins, but like everyone looks upon and say, oh, you can't be the person that works at Macca's. I'm like, if that's going to make someone feel like $1 million, let them do it. Yeah. And we can all be like eternally wealthy, you know, like it's a shift of the world, I reckon. Like, it's probably like the podcast I've been meaning to have a yarn with. And I tell you what, I feel like we've dropped some good nuggets for everyone tuning in, haven't we?
We have. My last nugget of wisdom, because I'm so old and wise, is that I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and you know, it was about the whole idea of, you know, at the moment, a really sad thing of COVID is because, you know, a lot of people my age in their 20s, and they're thinking like, this is the time that I should be traveling, and like I've lost 2 to whatever amount of years of like this time of my life, like my prime and this and that. And then the counter to that is like, well, when you think of how many old people who were like, and you know, the last few years of them being like fully independent and capable, and like those last few years of people's life has been, you know, so we have all of the time in the world still ahead of us. And then when you flip it and be like, yes, you know, shit sucks for a 25-year-old living in today, but also when you flip that and you're like, okay, well, my nana's gone from being 65 to like pushing 70, that now she's not gonna be able to do this or that. And I just think like, because I love old people so much and I love to pick brains, and they were saying to me, someone that I was talking to not that long ago, they were just saying that, you know, so many people say like, I wanna grow up in the 80s or younger. And they were just saying to me, like, there has never been a better time to be alive than like right now. Like you have all of the technology like at your fingertips. Like we're not expected to go out and like forage and kill people for land and food. Like we're not, you know, like we live in like genuinely a pretty good time in history. We're like, you know, besides of the, obviously the impending doom of the climate crisis, like when we have it pretty good compared to some areas of history. So, you know, like the world is literally our oyster, and even though shit is fucked right now, you know, we aren't relying on like horse and carriage, and like we can, you know, do all these things that was once like seen as being the pinnacle of the future. So
that's my
wisdom.
I love it.
Yes. I've dropped the mic.
You've dropped it. I'll tell you what, like, I keep telling everyone, like, oh, this has been the best Beat Pod episode. Can't get any better. And then it does.
I'm on it. I love talking yarns. And because I haven't seen anyone for so long, I just feel like I have so much of, I don't know, I just love having a good old, and I love having, like, yarns. Like, I don't like small talk. I fucking hate small talk.
Me too. This is why I started the podcast. I'm like, why is everyone asking questions? The same thing, like, just small talk. Oh, yeah, how's locked over? I want to go deeper. So, you know what? Let's remove all the, like, need to be, like, or just in a, like, big format or PG. It's like, nah. I know what we all thinking deep down in our hearts. Let's go.
I'm like, when someone's like, how are you? I'm like, yeah, good. But like, what do you want to do with your life? Like, I'm like, let's have like a deep convo. Like, I hate surface level shit. But I think that's also because I'm quite a naturally intense person. So,
tell me, you know. I tell you what, I love where it's all headed with everyone being able to express themselves. And I really just, I think we've left it there, but I just want to really just kind of hone in on this beautiful part of the show we do, and it is for everyone tuning in there, if you might be peeps that look up to you personally, as DJ, what would be some sort of kind of like little drops of encouragement or little tips? What can we share with everyone out there who might be wanting to get into DJing?
I think as long as you're doing it for the right reasons and like you can make up your mind about what your reason is, it could be something of just like you want people to have a good time and forget about what they're going through, or like, you know, it could be anything on any scale, and none is more important than the other. I just think that once you figure out what you're doing and what you want other people to get out of it, not just want yourself to get out of it, that's like the most important thing. Because especially today, like I see so many people that it looks as if, you know, I don't know these people, so I can't technically say, but you know, it gives this vibe of, you know, DJing is like the cool new thing at the moment and people want to do it because they want like cool Instagram photos or something. And that to me, I take like, I hate that because it's like the only thing for me. So, you know, people can smell disingenuous.
But that, I know it's a word, and I'll tell you what.
People can smell shit and, you know, like, and I just think that's probably the main thing. But for terms of actually getting into it, there's so many resources now. Like you've got like amazing places like Mains or like YouTube tutorials. Yes. I think that the most important thing is like if you have a laptop and an internet connection, like you'll be sweet. And like, you know, like yourself, you even when you had to go to McDonald's to make it work, like you just find ways to make it work and like working with what you've got. And there's enough room for everybody. You know?
There really is. In a world market, especially with our internet speeds around the world, eh?
Like there's enough room for everyone. And just be a nice person.
Yeah.
As well.
Hard out.
Important.
Yeah.
Wise words. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I'll tell you, that sounds like a great way to finish up. So I'm going to finish off with, a quick sort of like heads up. We ain't gonna beat around the bush. We will see you when we see you. But like, I'm very excited to encourage everyone to follow Emra on all the sort of socials, because I tell you what, I reckon the world's opening up again, and we are all headed to fly the New Zealand flag across the globe and stand tall and the powerful testimony of this music.
Hell yeah. Like when you see Montel over in LA right now, I'm like,
I found this on the way.
I tell you what, I saw him down 4th Street just a couple of days ago. Like, I always bump into people at like the same spots, like Montel, four times in a row, St. Luke's, like 4th Street, like 2 or 3 times. And I bump into peeps, and like the moment you bump into it, you realize, look, it's a small world, not just in terms of bumping into people, but in terms of like traveling the world. So,
it's a small world.
I reckon, that's where we can all catch you, is just all around the world. And on that note, to everyone tuning in, check out all the awesome testimony. You're getting into production as well, which is so awesome. I can't wait to see what comes for us all on that. But there you go. Sorry,
It's frozen.
Look, we're good. We're good now.
Oh, you're back. Sorry. I think it froze. So my debut single Crush came out with Seek and Destroy 2 months ago. And that was fucking cool as fuck, and like never expected it to do as well as it did. And then I have a new track, an original by me called Regular, and that'll be coming out soon. And then I have a whole bunch of other lockdown beats that there's like another 2 songs sitting there pretty much finished, plus a collab with Quix, because he's one of my really good friends, and I sent him the song that I was just like, hey, what do you think? I'm hitting a block, and he was like, can I jump on this with you? And I was like, you can. You can find all that on my Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud, Twitter, whatever, at I Am Emwa. It's EMWA.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Well, for everyone, that was Beat Whanau episode, Beat Whanau podcast with Emwa. Thank you all for staying in touch with all the episodes, sharing them with all your friends and homies. We are super happy with all the support you've been giving us. We can't thank you enough. And yeah, just encourage you all to stay posted for the things we got going on here. Yeah, follow all the artists, and we will catch you soon for some more Beat Whānau testimony. But from us, peace and love, Whānau.